Good evening. It is a joy and an honor to be a part of this sacred occasion. I want to thank Bishop Graves for extending the invitation, and I honor you, Bishop Graves, for your leadership here in the Alabama-West Florida Conference. Amen. I give thanks to God for the leadership of our cabinet here, all the conference staff, all of the laity and clergy of this beautiful conference, for all of the persons who are being commissioned, those of you who are being ordained, for all of your family that have come here tonight to celebrate with you, to all visitors and guests. To God be the glory for the gift of this sacred occasion where we can gather and celebrate the Spirit of God that is in our midst as we come this night for this celebration of commissioning and ordination. To God be the glory for the great things that God is doing among us. I invite you to pray with me as we reflect together on the theme, the courage of conviction. The courage of conviction. Let us pray. Lord God, I ask in these moments that your Spirit would abide so mightily amongst us that we will truly know and feel and experience that we have been in your presence. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be accepted in your sight. May all that we do here this night, all of the celebration, the singing, the glorifying, O God, may it honor you. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us as your word is being proclaimed. It is in Jesus' name that I pray, and I invite the people of God to say amen. Hear these words again, taken from 2 Timothy. I was appointed a messenger, apostle, and teacher of this good news. This is also why I'm suffering the way I do. I have no regrets, for I know the one in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him until that day. For I know the one in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep me until that day. He is able to keep me. He is able to keep us until that day. We have here in this text Paul's public declaration of his courageous conviction. A conviction, a persuasion, a testimony that is deeply rooted in faith and a belief in God that has been revealed to him through the all-encompassing love and power of Jesus Christ. Paul is convinced. He is convinced that there is nothing in life, nothing in death that shall ever be able to separate him from God's love and God's grace. No thing present, no thing to come, no hardship, no tribulation, no distress, no persecution, no peril or sword, no principalities or powers. Paul, as he writes this, he's writing a prayer to Timothy. He's writing to one who is young in ministry and one whom he ordained. Paul is recalling to his remembrance the legacy of faith that has been planted and nurtured in Timothy's life. He's remembering the evidence of the Spirit of God that is already at work in him. As those who are called and set apart for pastoral ministry. We are here tonight because we celebrate your journey of faith, the manifestation of God's Spirit that is already at work in you and through you. We are here tonight, are we not, to remember and to give thanks for your yes to God's calling on your life. So as we gather tonight, I want to offer Paul's prayer of encouragement to you, a prayer to inspire you to live, to proclaim, to love, and to serve with courageous conviction, a hope that you will have courage to lead, and that your courage will be grounded in the conviction that God's Spirit is upon you. And you have been anointed for this holy and sacred work. And what is this work? It is the work of preaching the gospel. It is the work of radical hospitality to the stranger. It is the work of offering to all persons the unconditional love and the grace of Jesus Christ. What is this work? It is the work of doing justice, of loving mercy, and walking humbly with God. You know, there is something about having a strong faith conviction. Because you have to have strong faith convictions if you're going to lead boldly, if you are going to lead courageously. Because don't we know that your ministry will be tried? Don't we know that your faith will be tested? Don't we know that your leadership will be challenged? Don't we know that your theology will be questioned? So there is something about having a strong faith conviction that leads to courageous and bold leadership. You got to be convinced. You got to be convinced that there is nothing impossible for God. And I mean nothing. You got to be convinced that God's grace is sufficient for thee. You got to be convinced that when you look up into the hills and you wonder where your help is going to come from, you know that your help comes from the Lord. You got to be convinced that the plans that God has for you are for your welfare, for your good, and not for your harm. You better be convinced that if you draw near to God, the word of God says what? I will draw near to you. You got to be convinced that God is not giving you a spirit of fear, but God is giving you love, he's giving you power, and he's giving you a sound mind. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. So be strong and what? Courageous. When we are convinced of God's call, when we are convinced of God's provision for our lives, then we are empowered to lead with courage. There are three significant convictions in Paul's prayer for Timothy. And I commend these to you tonight. And the first conviction is keep alive the gift. Keep alive the gift. Keep alive the gift of the Spirit that is within you, the gift of the sacred vows that you take on tonight. The gift of the laying on of hands of your bishop. Keep alive the gift. We know that today is a highly and holy occasion, is it not? And it feels good to be here, doesn't it? You worked hard and long and stayed up many nights to get here, have you not? A holy moment. It's a holy occasion. It's celebratory. It's affirming. This is what you have been preparing for. This is your night. This is your day. This is your hour. But guess what? We know that we can't stay here tonight, can we not? This mountaintop feels very good, but we can't stay here. As much as we take delight in this sacred occasion, we know we can't stay here because ministry calls us to the mission field, calls us into the trenches and to the margins and to the borders and to the prisons and to the hospitals and to the drug houses and to the schools and to the homes and to the White House and to the courthouse. Ministry calls us, does it not?
Yes.
Ministry calls us to the uncomfortable and the unfamiliar places. Places where we have not dared to go, with people that we have not dared to meet, to love where there has been shown no love before, to do justice where at one time there was no mercy. The mission field calls us. And as our call and our convictions, hear me good tonight, as our call and our convictions lead us to these places, there are going to be times when you are going to be discouraged. There are going to be times when you're going to be distracted. There are going to be times when you are even disillusioned and sometimes wake up wondering, what have I gotten myself into? Amen, somebody. And it's in these times when we find encouragement in Paul's words to Timothy that will sustain you for the journey. He says, fan into flame the gift of God that is in you. Your gift of faith in Jesus Christ. Remembering that God saved you and called you into this holy life. And God has purposed you to do this holy work. And it's not because it's anything that you have done, but it is because of who God is. God has chosen to call you. God has chosen to equip you. God has chosen to empower you, empower us for ministry. Eugene Peterson says it this way: we had nothing to do with it. It was all God's idea. A gift prepared for us in Jesus long before we knew anything about it. So I say to you tonight, fan into flame the gifts by remembering today the covenant, the vows, and the power, and the grace, and the authority that were given to you, that will be given to you this night. Remember tonight. You're going to have to remember all of the prayers of God's people, those who are here and even being surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. We got to remember, fan into flame the gift of the Spirit. Keep alive the gift of God. And let me tell you why it's so important that you fan the flame. Because if you don't fan the flame, and I've seen this more times too many, that you risk what was once a flame of fire burning brightly within your life and your ministry easily become only an ember. And we have so many of our clergy serving in churches where the light has gone out. You gotta fan the flame. And you gotta remember that it's the Holy Spirit, the power and the pure joy of Christ that will sustain you for the journey. If you don't fan the flame, you risk losing your joy and your sense of vision and your sense of purpose and your sense of creativity and your innovation and your imagination. You gotta fan the flame. Ministry is hard work. It's sacred work. It's holy work, but let me tell you, it's joyful work. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16 says this: "You are the light of the world. A city on the top of a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on top of the lampstand, and it shines on all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before people, so that they can see the good things you do, but glorify your Father who is in heaven. Keep alive the gift." Secondly, I commend to you tonight to be bold in your witness, to unapologetically give your best for the Lord. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but you have power, you have the love of Christ, and you have sound mind. So don't be ashamed, Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord or me, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Preach it in season and out of season, when folk want to hear it and even when they don't want to hear it. Don't ever be apologetic about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul says, take your share of the suffering for the message of good news along with the rest of us. It's all part of the conviction. It's all part of the call. He says, take your share of the suffering for the message of the good news along with the rest of us. But hear this: depending on God's power. This is the message, he says, that I've been called to teach and to preach, and it is the reason why I'm in trouble. Amen? Amen. But don't forget this part. He says, I have no regrets. Do ministry with no regrets. Live ministry, live your call with no regrets. Friends, don't we know that it's not popular to be bold? Don't we know that it's not popular to be prophetic? Don't we know that we might lose some friends? Don't we know that we may even lose some members along the way? But yet, isn't that what we are charged to do? We live in a culture and in a world where we label each other, where we judge each other, where we demonize each other, where we vilify each other, and I would even say horribleize each other. It's a part of our culture. And unfortunately, we see this culture within the church. Fear and division and hatred, it tears at the very fabric of our culture and our world, and even in this beloved United Methodist Church. It's not popular being bold and prophetic. It's not popular speaking the truth in love. Our society is one that is increasingly becoming more racially divided and violent. Where black and brown people can't even trust those who we pay to serve and protect. Where the drug epidemic is at an all-time high, destroying lives by the minute. We heard earlier in plenary that suicide rates are at an all-time high. There are increased efforts, even within our church, to marginalize people because of unjust immigration policies. The political climate has us even more anxious and fearful and suspicious of each other. And because of this divisive, accusatory, and hateful rhetoric and policies and behaviors, we as the church have to be even more bold and prophetic. We can't afford not to, because it's who we are as part of our baptism vows, is it not? To resist evil and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. That is the call. Being bold and prophetic. Don't be afraid to allow God to use you. But it's not about you. It's about what God desires to do through you, what the kingdom of God that God desires to bring about through you and through the people of God, the laos, the laity of the church. Paul tells Timothy, rely on the power of God that is at work through you. So I challenge you and I challenge all of us tonight. Be a voice for the voiceless. Speak truth to power. Have the courage and the audacity to do what is right instead of always doing what is desired, what is easy. Teach and model what radically inclusive love and the welcome of God, what it looks like. That's our call to hold us together in the covenant. Preach the gospel. The gospel of love, the good news, the gospel of grace, the good news, the gospel of forgiveness, the good news, the gospel of reconciliation, the good news that can bring and restore life. Show compassion for those who are hurt and broken and marginalized. Be advocates for peace and justice. Be committed to building beloved community. Our communities are becoming more global. As a matter of fact, the word is termed glocal. And our missional task is to increase our capacity to create and even to grow multicultural and multi-ethnic and multi-generational ministries. That's your call. You have the opportunity to lead us and to open up new ways of being the church. Don't give in to shame. Don't give in to timidity. God has called you to be careful. God has called you to be faithful. God has called you to be bold. And as I tell my folk back at home, God calls you to be bold and courageous, but not to be reckless. Be bold in your witness. And dare I say this, and we do this too often, don't be apologetic for how your prophetic witness and presence will shift the atmosphere. That's what we're called to do. We are called to shift the atmosphere. Let your preaching and your teaching and your discipling defy the boundaries of who's in and who's out and who's welcome and who's not. Shift the atmosphere. God's love transcends all divisions. God's grace transcends all fears. We serve a God who is mighty in every way that is able to break down the barriers that exist among God's people. Dare to challenge the status quo. Gil Rendo, in his paper entitled Be Strong and of Good Courage, if you have not read it, I commend it to you. Gil Rendo, in his paper Be Strong and of Good Courage, he says this: what is needed in our pastoral leaders is the courage of steadfastness to our purpose as Wesleyan Methodists. to share the love, the grace, the mercy, and the justice of God. Leaders who keep an eye on the purpose and who says to keep moving, even against opposition to what God may be trying to do. Leaders keep moving, long as you are moving in the way of God, because it's not about us. It's about what God's Spirit is trying to do through us. So keep alive the gift. Be bold in your witness. And the third tonight is keep at work. Paul told Timothy, keep at work. He says, I couldn't be sure of my ground. The one I've trusted in can take care of what he's trusted me to do right down to the end. So he says this, so keep at work this faith and love rooted in Christ, exactly as I set it out for you. It's as sound as the day you first heard it from me. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. Guard, here it is again. Guard this precious thing placed in your custody by the Holy Spirit who works in us. Guard the faith. Well, guess what, my friends? We guard the faith by sharing the faith. Amen? We guard the faith, we preserve the faith by making the faith available, amen, to all. William Sloan Coffin, who I quoted last night, one of my favorite preachers, in his sermon, Being Called, he helps to provide a framework for what it means to keep at faith, what it means to guard the faith. Hear this, it's powerful. He says, there is no way that Christianity can be spiritually redemptive without being socially responsible. That's deep right there. Hear that again. There is no way that Christianity can be spiritually redemptive without being socially responsible. He goes on to say that God is always trying to make humanity more human, but without us, he won't, and without him, we can't. He says every time we cry out, and don't we do this as a church? He says every time we cry out, how long will evil prevail? How long will violence run rampant? How long will corruption exist? How long will exclusion corrode? William Sloan Coffin says, we can be sure that God is pointing God's finger right back at the church asking, how long? How long? There is no such thing as secret discipleship, for either the secrecy destroys the discipleship or the discipleship destroys the secrecy. So my friends, keep at work. Don't grow weary in doing good. Keep at work. Be steadfast in the face of adversity. Be steadfast in the face of fear. Be steadfast in the face of division. Keep at work. Stay focused on the mission of the church. It is the mission, it is the covenant that holds us together. It is the mission, and it's the covenant that connects us. It is the mission, and it's the covenant that calls us to make and to mature disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Keep at work, being reminded yourself and always reminding those that we are called to serve why it is that we do what we do. Every once in a while, we gotta be reminded of who and whose we are. It is in being reminded that we're able to keep alive the gift, that we are able to be strong and courageous, that we are able to keep at work. And the Word of God reminds us, I will be with you until the end of the age. If God gives the vision, God will make the necessary provision for you to do what God has called you to do. Do you believe that? And there are some of us here tonight that need to be reminded of that. If God gives the call, God will prepare the way. It's not about us. It's about what God is doing through us. So let us never, ever grow weary in doing good. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. And as you preach the gospel, preach the whole gospel. And as you reach people, reach all of the people to share the love and the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the compassion of Jesus Christ. For God so loved this beautiful but broken world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but with the prayer and the hope and the expectation, and we're a part of that expectation, that the world would be saved. We are a part of God's plan of salvation. Let it be so. Don't grow weary. Don't grow tired of doing good. It is my hope and my prayer that the Holy Spirit would wrestle upon you this night and forevermore, ever pushing and ever pulling and ever preparing the way, that God's love will prevail in this world. I often wonder, my friends, I say, what if the Church of Jesus Christ loved this world the way God loves this world? God loved the world so much to give his only. What if the church loved this world the way God loves the world? What are we willing to give? What are we willing to give? May it be so. May it be so. Keep alive the gift. Be bold in your witness. Keep at work. Amen.